As I stated earlier, it's truly an honor to be in the house of the Lord. And I'm glad to see how worship goes, because we give God the worship that he is worthy of having. And then the thing about it, when I look just in the spirit, I can see the fact that everybody can't worship, because he said that they that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. So when I see true worship going on, it does something for me, because I know that my Father in heaven is being glorified, and I know that he is enjoying it. Hallelujah. So I just pray that we continue to keep our hearts of worship, and that we continue to praise God for all that he is. This morning, we're going to be going to the book of Luke. But before we get into the word of God, I'm going to go ahead and have a word of prayer. Father, I just thank you for being the God that you are. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it is powerful. I thank you that it is quick and that it is sharper, that it is living. I thank you, Lord, that it has the capacity to deliver. I thank you, Lord, that it has the capacity to do things in our lives that nothing else can do. So we lift your name up today, Lord, and we lift your word even higher, because you said that you've exalted your word even above your own name. So, Father, we're your vessels on this day, Lord, and I pray that you use us, Lord. Shape us and mold us as you see fit, God. And today, Lord, whatever it is that you have for us, I'm praying that we will get it. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you for it. Amen. The passage is coming from Luke chapter 4. Starting at verse 1. We'll be reading all the way through to verse 13. And it reads as such. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." But Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I will give you, and their glory. For this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered and said to him, "It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. I would like to talk to you this morning from the topic of anointed to overcome in life. And I realize that as we go into this passage, most people look at the temptations. But as God began to speak with me and deal with me when I went before him for a word for his people, the overcoming was the biggest subject of it. As I looked at it and as it began to well up within me, I saw how much overcoming was available for the believers. And something that we have to realize, whenever we hear the word anointing, most people, you know, we get to thinking of the manifestations. We think about the gifts. We think about the signs and the wonders and the miracles. But when it comes to the anointing, it's for your everyday living. We need to be depending on the anointing for day-to-day lives. It takes the anointing of God to be a housewife and carry out your duties, because I realize that we all live lives and But just the fact that you're living a life, or just the fact that you've been doing a certain thing for a long period of time, doesn't necessarily denote the fact that you're successful in it. So it takes the anointing of God in order for you to actually succeed in that thing that you're doing. Because God has a perfect plan for you in that thing that you're doing, whether it may be at work, whether it's being a husband, whether it's being a mother, whether it's being a teacher, whatever it may be, it takes the anointing of God for you to overcome and prosper in that area of your life. And so we as a people, we don't need to just be seeking the anointing of God when it comes time for us to preach, or when it comes time for us to pray, or when it comes time for us to do big tasks. We need the anointing of God in our day-to-day living, every day throughout our life. We need the anointing of God when we walk by the way. We need the anointing of God when we go to the store. We need the anointing of God each and every hour of our life. And something that we have to realize is that operating in the anointing is a lifestyle. It isn't something that we just do whenever we want to. And so in order for us to actually overcome through the anointing, we're going to have to be operating in the anointing. And through that anointing, it is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So with that being said, the Bible says that those who are called by Jesus' name, he's anointed them with that Spirit. And something that we have to understand is, if somebody doesn't have the Spirit of God, the Bible says he isn't his. So now that we have it, we need to make sure that we're operating in it effectively. So with that being said, I look back at how before we got to this passage in Scripture in Luke 4, Jesus entered into ministry. But when he entered into ministry, something miraculous happened. That at the baptism John gave him, the heavens were opened up, and we saw the full Godhead there in that instant. We saw God say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." We had God the Son being there baptized, and here God, the Holy Spirit, said, descended on Jesus in dove form, in bodily form as a dove. So we had all three of them there. So undoubtedly, people were certainly saw who he was and heard the announcement of what God had said who he is. Now, with that being said, this was the annunciation of ministry for him, and that is a prerequisite, let me tell you, for ministry. We need the Holy Spirit in order to be a witness. And here, after Jesus got it, the first thing he does, he goes on a fast. And the Scripture says that he was on a fast for 40 days. And whenever we see the number 40, I mean, in biblical terms, it means certain things. But when I was looking at it and researching, I realized that it denoted a time of testing, a time of tempting, a time of trial. And so he certainly was going through a trial. And for 40 days, he was being tempted and tested of the enemy. And now, whenever we look at that, we have to realize that he went on that fast, and he did that by the Spirit. The Scripture says the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, I know we love the Spirit of God, and that is our all in all. That's our determining factor. That's the thing that that carries us from day to day. But yet here in this Bible passage, we see that the Spirit of God led him into the wilderness to be tested of the devil. So be it known that the Spirit will lead you to be tested of the devil, because God tests hearts. He's not the tempter. Satan is the tempter. But something that we have to understand is he ain't just throwing out some random tests for you. Tests are strategically placed. So what we have to understand is that anytime you're continuously getting tests in your life because of the same thing, if you're getting angry because of the same thing time and time again, if you're continuously falling in the same area time and time again, I can tell you when that thing will stop bothering you. I can tell you when it'll stop getting on your nerve. I can tell you whenever you're actually going to not have to worry about that again. It'll be when you actually overcome it. Give it to the Lord, and then you'll have an opportunity to go on to the next level. And so what we have to do whenever we're in this period of testing, or since Jesus went on a fast, something that we have to do is fast. And I think that's became a lost art. And I know we don't tell people when we're on fast. I get that. And so I can't necessarily say you're not fasting. But I can tell you of the importance of fasting. As you can see, Jesus done it soon as he got into ministry. He went on as fast. When we look at fasting, these are the things that comes out of fasting. In Isaiah, God said, is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to break yokes, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. So whenever you go on a fast, you can break mountains of poverty. You can break mountains of fear, any sickness and infirmity, sexual impurity, generational curses, all of these things. You have the capacity to get rid of those things through a fast because God said this is the mechanism I've chosen in order to break these things in your life. So it's something that we as believers certainly should be doing and operating in the anointing of God. That will certainly help you to flow in it. Not only that, it'll break pride, it'll break rebellion, it'll break witchcraft. It carries the capacity to break many things. But it doesn't just break things. Fasting also releases things. It releases victory. It releases victory over against overwhelming odds. And it causes joy. And the scripture says in his presence is the fullness of joy. That's why when you go on a fast, you can be happy regardless of what's going on in your life. Regardless of situations, circumstances, or trials of life, on a fast, you got joy. And that's a fruit of the Spirit anyhow. So we should be operating in it, but it takes the anointing to really operate in the gifts and the fruit and bear fruit. So that's one of the things that it also does is allows for us to bear fruit. And above all, it allows us to operate in the power of the Holy Ghost. And so we certainly need to make sure that we're doing it. But besides that, we have to look at how the enemy is so cunning and crafty. Because whenever he came to Jesus and was tempting him, now the Bible says, there is therefore now no temptation that hath taken you, but such as is common to man. And we know that Jesus came from heaven to earth, and now he's came in man form, and he did it in a miraculous way, but yet he had to do it by the protocol that he had already set up. He said man had to be born of a woman, so he had to be born of a woman. And so now we have God, man, here with us, Emmanuel, God with us, and he's going to have to live a sinless life. And here it is, the enemy, just as soon as he's left, out of the presence of God, or just as soon as he's left the baptism where the annunciation was made, then here we have the enemy trying to get him to doubt who he really is. How many know that he'll try and make you doubt who you really are? And if you're not aware of who you really are, he'll take you on a trail with that one. He'll have you at the drug addict at the drug house trying to find out who you really are. He'll have you at the liquor store trying to seek peace. He'll have you somewhere that you certainly don't need to be in order to try and find yourself, or in order to try and get to where you need to be on the basis of him tricking you and trying to tell you who you are. But I thank God that Jesus knew who he was. And so since he did, he went on, and this is how Satan come to him. He told him, he said, if you're the Son of God, go ahead, prove yourself. How about you command these stones to become bread? And I want you to know that any time that you try and prove yourself, that you are doing that in reference to the evil one, because we don't have to prove ourselves for nothing. God doesn't have to prove himself, and I'm so glad that he doesn't have to prove himself, because he said the just shall live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So if you don't have faith, you're not going to please him. And if you don't have the faith that you need, even if you did see him, you won't have the faith enough to know that it was him. I deal with that all the time, people that don't see how God is working in their life and how God is doing things in their life, because they don't have a relationship, or the veil is there and they can't see God actually operating in their lives. And so what we do oftentimes whenever we're trying to prove ourselves, you know, we try to prove ourselves through our statuses, where we can get to in life. If we can climb the economic ladder, if we can get to a certain place politically, if we can acquire a certain job, if we can do certain things, I can say that I've made it. I can prove to the people in the neighborhood that I come from that I'm this now. I can prove to my teacher that I'm not a failure, since she said that I was going to be a failure. I can prove to these people who I am on the basis of what I'm acquiring now. But what we have to understand is anytime that we're trying to prove ourselves and do it in reference to something that somebody has said, then now we're no longer controlled by the Spirit of God. And so it was very easy for Jesus to have said something like, you know what? I tell you what. I can turn these stones to bread. There's nothing for me to do. Better yet, I've given all out of the rock and honey from flinty rock. So I can do it. I can get bread and honey. As a matter of fact, I'll get some water to come out of this rock as well. And we'll sit here and have a feast. Could have did that. But he didn't come to show himself. He came to glorify the Father. So everything that we do, it should be to glorify the Father. If what you're doing isn't to go glorify the Father, then you're in the wrong area. And that's what he has called us to do. It doesn't make any difference where you're at. Where you're living, what you're doing, the time for you to start operating and overcoming temptations is now. And you have what it takes in order to do so. Jesus gave an excellent answer to him. He said, "It's written." So that is one of the greatest things ever, to say that it's written. Because there is no argument for the word of God. And the Bible tells us not to be contentious and quarrelsome among ourselves, debating about his word. So that I don't do. But some people that know the word of God may try and do that. But once it's said, that settles it. And so that should be our answer. What is written? When you find out what is written about your situation, that's what you need to start declaring, because you can get the same results that Jesus got when you start declaring what is written. Whenever you start living according to what is written, then you can start getting the same results that Jesus got, because it is written. And so that is one of the key things in our lives, is us operating according to what is written. If I don't answer anybody in any other manner when they come to me with something that's of evil, if I just give them the word of God, then I've done my just portion. Because it doesn't have to be proved. He's going to take care of that himself. And as a matter of fact, he exalted it, even above his own name. And so we as his people have to make sure that we're doing the right thing. 1 Peter 3:15 lets us know that we should always be prepared to give an answer to those who ask us why we have the hope that we have. And so I'm always ready to let them know he's done this for me, he's done that for me, and he's done this. And if he doesn't do anything else, he's done enough. So I'm happy with him. I'm glad. And so I'm going to continue operating in the things of God. And then Satan went on to tell Jesus in verse 5. He said, "And the devil taking him to an high mountain showed him unto all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. And if thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And so yet again he went tempting him, trying to get him to fall, trying to get him off of his course. We have a race that only we can run. We have a course that's laid out directly for us. Nobody can run your race. You're going to have to run your own race. With that being said, you're going to have to stay on path. You're going to have to be on target. And the way we're going to do that is dependent on the Holy Spirit. The anointing is present in order for you to do exactly what you need to do. If you would, can you pull up 1 Peter for me? That other scripture. But as we're going there, something that we need to notice in this passage, that the enemy took him to a high mountain. Now, as the Father, Jesus knew exactly what it was like to sit up high and to have all things. The cattle on 1,000 hills, the gold is his, the silver is his, is all his. And here the enemy was trying to get him to operate in an area that he has left from for our sake. Because he only came to earth in order that he may redeem us. And so since he left all of that, now the enemy says, here, you can have it back. I can give it to you because the authority has been given unto me. Well, how did he get that authority in the first place? We have to look at the fact that from the very instance of the fall, it was given up. All of the free things that he had, that we had at our hands. All of the fullness that we had, now we're having to work for it. And I realize that God created a lot of things. He created it, said that it was good. But when he got to man, he formed man. And he formed him of the dust. And so, with him forming man of the dust, and after the fall, every time that you do something, we have to realize that there's a judgment for everything that we do that we're not supposed to be doing. And of course, with the fall, the enemy had to lick the dust of his feet. He no longer had legs anymore, so he had to crawl on his belly, that old evil serpent, and lick the dust. Well, if he created man out of dust, and now Satan has the authority to lick the dust, then that tells us that any time that we operate in the flesh, then Satan is licensed to eat us alive. So we need to make sure that we're doing, that we're walking in the spirit and not in the flesh. Because God has commanded us to walk in the spirit. Because if we're not walking in the spirit, we'll get consumed. And that's how you fall. And that's why the fast was so important. In order to build up your spirit, you deny your flesh and you build up your spirit, man. You build up your inner man in order that you may go forth. 1 Peter says this, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So through God, through him, he has given us everything that pertaineth unto life and godliness. So there goes our verse there that tells us we should be overcoming. regardless of what it is in our lives, God said that he's given us everything that pertains unto life and godliness. And I understand we as a people, we have this church thing together. We know how to praise. We know how to worship. We know how to dress. We know how to go out and look good amongst the people. We know how to come in here with our church clothes on and look good on the outside. But on the inside, God knows what's really going on. So as he's looking at you on the inside and you've got everything that pertains unto life, allegedly, but do you have everything that pertained to godliness? Because it takes the anointing of God and knowing how to operate in it in order to operate according to this godliness. And so, with that being said, since it's been given over to them, this authority that the enemy says that he has, we have to understand our authority. Because through the knowledge of God, you overcome. And that's where we messed up at the fall, because they ate off the tree of what? Of good and knowledge, of the knowledge of good and evil. And so now the scripture says God has given us the knowledge that we need in order to overcome. So that's what we need to be utilizing in order to overcome Satan's wiles and his tactics. And since he had the nerve to take Jesus up to a high mountain and gave him an aerial view. This is a view that he was used to. This is what he was used to. Heaven was his throne. His earth was his footstool. He was used to this view. He knew how he looked. He knew how he could sit high and look low and see all things. But yet that wasn't his time. He wasn't going back to the throne. He had descended to earth, so he had to walk as a man. And so that wasn't the timing for that. How many people know that you can have something that's really good for you, but have it at the wrong time? And so it wasn't necessarily wrong in the fact that he would have received it because it's his anyway, but it wasn't time for it. And so I oftentimes pray that I don't get something early and that I don't get something late. And we as a people have to make sure that we're understand the moment of what God has given us so that we can operate in it in its fullness. Because if God gives us something early and we don't know how to take care of it, then we can very well mess it up. And so I always want to make sure that I operate not just on my level, but I also want to operate in due season. So we have to operate in our windows of opportunity. And here Jesus had a window of opportunity, but it wasn't from God. Because every opportunity in from God. Every promotion. Every time somebody sows into you. Every time you have the opportunity to get something new, doesn't necessarily make it a blessing. Doesn't necessarily make it of God. Because the scripture says that the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he added no sorrow with it. If the promotion comes with you having to be off on Sunday, if the promotion comes with you having to work more in order to actually keep what you've already been maintaining, he has no sorrow with it. So we have to be mindful of that and make sure that we take the opportunities that God has given us and use those opportunities and don't give our authority over to the evil one, because another way that we give our authority over is by the things that we say. And if I can't love you and speak to you in love, and I don't need to be saying nothing to you at all. Because, you know, we have the little nursery rhyme riddles that we've heard since we were little. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. But they hurt far beyond what you can imagine. They may hurt you physically, because there's some of us, even as I stated earlier, who are still trying to build our lives on the basis of what somebody said about us when we were younger, or what somebody's saying about us now. And yet we can have words. The scripture says, speak life. It said, because in the power of life and death lies within your tongue. So if you're going to speak anything, I suggest you speak life over it. And I found out that in my situation and circumstances, when stuff comes up on me, there's a direct relation to how I speak about that situation, how I get delivered out of it. I'll give you an instance. I know you hear my voice a little raspy now. Thursday morning before day, I had made it to church Wednesday, and by the time we made it to the house, I was telling my wife, I was like, I'm not doing too good. And by the time I went to sleep, I woke up 3 a.m. in the morning on the dot. I looked at the clock. My throat, I couldn't talk. I tried to talk. The words weren't coming out. And I'm coughing. My nose is running. And my wife woke up too. And here my little girl comes in. She hops in the bed with us and she's coughing too. And I had already told my wife about it. And here's what she did. She said, because I had sent a text in to work or to my manager and told him, look, I'm not coming in the morning. I'm going to the doctor. And I don't miss work as most of us men. I go in. And yet I sent this text telling them at 3 a.m. it was that bad. And yet she said, once my wife got up, she said, I don't think you're handling that right. And she said, I'll help you out however I can, but I don't think you're handling it right. So I already knew what she was talking about. And she dwells with me according as an heir of the promises, and that's how we should be dwelling even with our spouses. I got to look at her as a sister in Christ, and if I wouldn't say or do it to one of my sisters or brothers in Christ, I don't need to be saying it or doing it to her. And so likewise, we hold each other accountable according to the faith. And she said, you're not handling that right. So at that moment, something rose up within me, and it was at that point that I decided that I was going to start praying and start handling it as the attack that it was, because I knew that I had an engagement coming up. I knew that there was something greater that was trying to stop me and hinder me from going forth in the things of God. And if you would allow just your situations and circumstances to keep you from going forth in the things of God, then you'll never be able to overcome Satan's tactics. He'll use your children. He'll use your family. He'll use your husband. He'll use whatever he can in order to keep you from going forth in the things of God. But I'm telling you that I'm not going to allow him. I'm not that kind of guy to not go out without a fight. And that's what we fail to realize, that we as believers, we're actually in a war, regardless of what you think. But it's a spiritual war, so you can't fight it with fists and bricks. You're going to have to pray in the spirit. You're going to have to ensure that you're believing God. You're going to have to get it by faith, because there's no other way that you can get it. So whenever you get ready to overcome all of Satan's tactics, make sure that you identify it as an attack, and then you start operating accordingly. Because I realized it, that it was an attack. So I went to praying, and it didn't just go away in a moment. It didn't just go away. I was praying for the first hour, and then I got my voice back. And when I got my voice back, then I was able to actually speak, and then my nose was still running. But by the time I knew that I was delivered, I went ahead in there and got the prayer request from people that asked about prayer. And I started praying over that one too, because I know that when the anointing of God comes, it's not just for me, it's for everybody. And so that's what we need to understand, that we're not just operating in the anointing for ourselves that we can overcome. We're operating in the anointing so that our families can overcome. We're operating in the anointing so that our jobs can overcome. We're operating in the anointing even so the world can overcome. And so that's what we have to understand. We're looking, we don't serve a God that's powerless. And he's willed that power to you and sealed a deal in his spirit. God said, I'll die for mine. And so he did that. So I don't take it lightly what he gave us through death. And his spirit is something that I have to. It's essential that we operate according to his spirit. And the scripture says to know good and not do it, it is sin. So if I know better and I don't do nothing about it, then I'm in sin. See, what the unbeliever does is sin. And I know we as a people don't necessarily judge, but sin judges itself. And we're called to judge one to another. But what I'm saying is, one person's level of sin and another person's isn't one and the same, for the simple fact everybody isn't called to where you're called to. God's telling you to do something, then that's what you have to do. And it doesn't matter if nobody else goes with you. God said, do it. You may not even have help from the people that you think you're going to get help from. But God always has a ram in the bush, and he'll see to it that he provides the increase, that he provides you a way in order to get that thing done or to make that thing happen. Because I've understood from a long time ago that in absence of the anointing of God, we can't get anyone saved. We can't get anyone healed. We can't get anyone delivered. We can't get anything done on our own accord. Doesn't matter how good we speak. Don't matter how well we pray. Doesn't matter where we go. Don't matter how we sow. If we don't have the anointing of God, then we'll remain powerless. And if you're going to remain powerless, you're not going to be able to do anything in this time. And God has raised up a people for such a time as this. And I am a firm believer that the gifts and the manifestations of the gifts are readily available and present to do exactly what he sent his word to do. That's why I harp on the fact that he said it is written. Because what is written, we can get in on it and prosper. But I can't try and attain things on my own accord or by my own hand. So I have to make sure that I'm overcoming through Jesus, that I'm overcoming through truth. Because there's many ways that we can get things done, but is it the best way? Because I'm not a mechanic by trade, and praise God if you are. I cannot work on stuff. That is just not my area. God didn't give me in that area. And so I can take it apart now. But when it comes to putting it back together, I got a problem. And so I realize that we have to operate in our areas that we've been gifted to operate in. And that's why the body of Christ is so important, because everybody in prophesying, everybody in laying hands on people, getting them healed, everybody in talking in tongues, everybody in interpreting tongues. But if we can all come together and make this thing happen, then we have an effective body. But when you got people trying to interpret that ain't called to interpret, when we have people that's prophesying that haven't been called in that area and gifted in that area, then we have a mess. And then we have something that God hadn't called for us to do. And in actuality, when I look at the gifts, I realize that a lot of the topics that we got on the gifts was on the basis of it being in disarray. So I don't even put as much emphasis on the gifts as I do the one who gave the spirit, that is, which is a which the gifts themselves are a manifestation of that spirit. And so the enemy asked him again. He came at him again. And these are the only ones that are recorded in our scripture, but the Bible says 40 days he was being tested. It takes the power of God in order to be tested for that type of time and still prevail. Because most folks would have been done failed, would have been done gave in, would have been done went off on Satan. Because we forget the fact that there's a spirit that's working through a person or through a thing. And so we start addressing it carnally, and that's how we fall. So I'm looking to ensure that I'm built up to the point of where my flesh is of no avail, and that I handle it according to the scripture each and every time, and through his divine power, he has given you opportunity to do that. He has willed it to you to be able to do that. when it went on into verse 9, it said it brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple. And unto him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. Now, these first couple times, Jesus was telling him that it was written. And now here it is. I guess he's figuring he knows how Jesus is going to operate. So he says, tell you what, it's written. So now he comes at him with the word, and yet Jesus still came back at him and said, it said, and as I look at it, I realize the fact that the enemy doesn't tell the truth. And what was going on in this instance, in this passage? Because the Bible says that there is no truth in him. So he don't tell the truth. But yet he was quoting scripture, and what he was doing, he was trying to get Jesus to operate in a manner that was inconsistent with the concept of the scripture. Because Jesus went ahead and told him, look, it said you don't test the Lord thy God. And I want you to know that the enemy will sell you a lie in order to get you to operate in a manner that's inconsistent with the word of God. That's why it is written, study to show thyself approved, because when you do that, then he won't be able to slip you up and trip you up and get you to do something that you're not supposed to be doing. As a matter of fact, the reason that we're into so many different denominations and the way that we're doing things and the way that we're doing it is because, not just because of a disagreement, but because of the lies that the enemy has sold people, because he understands that he can divide it and conquer it. If we can stay together, then we can get some things happening. But if he can divide it, he can ensure that he can conquer that area of your life. And so I realize that even in the body of Christ, there's been reported divisions among us because of the fact of some things that were misinterpreted. And here the enemy lied. And he is actually, and I can tell you that anytime we believe a lie, is going to be detrimental to our walk. That's why it's important to be knowledgeable of the things of God, firstly, and then do what it takes to do in order to operate in the things of God. Because knowledge alone brings accountability. And the Spirit of God will keep you if you want to be kept. It takes the helper to be able to help you in times when you've been struggling, when you've been being tested, and the enemy is steady picking at you. But the fact that Jesus never gave in or caved in says a lot with him being as a man. Since no temptation is taken us, I realize that temptation goes until your breaking point. People will say that, well, you know, that was Jesus, so that temptation couldn't have been that bad to him. But if he didn't have no breaking point, I wonder, in essence, how bad was that temptation? I'm sure the devil was pouring it on real thick. And as we can see from these three passages, he had to have been. But if he sells people a lie, and I can tell you, he sold even some of us lies and say things like, well, you're going to have to be baptized in order to. And I didn't come to mess with your doctrine this morning. I'm trying to point out truth, okay? We serve our God, who is the ultimate judge of our salvation. Now, when Jesus was on the cross, he had a man on his left and a man on his right, and one of the guys was talking down on him, and the other one asked him, you know, you're the Son of God, I believe, but and Jesus told him, he said, surely This day you shall be with me in paradise. Well, he didn't have an opportunity to go dip in a tank of water. And so I realized that some of the things that we've held doctrinally to, that God is the author and perfecter of our faith. So whoever he declares as saved is saved. And so likewise, when it comes to people who will tell you stuff like, and tell you that I've met people who say, well, if you don't talk in tongues, you don't have the Spirit of God and you ain't saved. And I'm like, well, go ahead. You can say whatever you want to. I'm not going to argue about it because I know that I have a relationship with God. I talk in tongues, but everybody does. And I realize that that's a manifestation of the gift. Well, the gift comes from the Spirit. So automatically, I must have had the Spirit of God in order to do anything. And so now I realize that the devil is continually still using this same trick of selling people lies so that he can divide people. And so I'm understanding something. That if we will get our lines in mind with the scripture and what God has said and realize that he's the ultimate judge, then we won't have to worry about trying to prove ourselves or prove our doctrine or prove our way of living or prove the things that we do, because God alone is judge. And so I see in the Bible where even the very one that baptized Jesus, the Bible says that he was filled with the Holy Ghost when he was yet in the womb, because the Bible says that John leaped whenever Elizabeth saw Mary, who was her cousin, and John leaped in the womb. I realized that the anointing of God had to come up on even this child. Spirits transferred. And so if we're not careful, if we're going to hang around somebody that's believing a lie, if we're going to be around people that's doing wrong, if we're going to continue to mingle and intertwine with folks doing stuff that they have no business, it won't be very long before that spirit latches on to you. So you have to make sure that you're being mindful of the fact that we're living in a spiritual world. I'm more spiritual than I am carnal. And if you're more spiritual than you are carnal, then you're walking in the spirit and you can see these things for what they are. And we as a people, we really have to have the mindset that we're not human beings trying to live in the spirit. We're spirit beings that are trying to live as human beings. And so what I'm trying to do is get people to have the mindset to know that this isn't second nature for us. This is our nature. And so we need to be operating in the things of God as our nature calls for us to operate in it. Because God has called us to do that. And he's given us everything that we need in order to do that. And I wish I had about just a few people who really realize how spirits transfer. And I wish that they knew how God will have you overcoming through the anointing. And that they had so much joy that it will begin to leap onto other people. That it will begin to overflow onto other people. That it will be so whole, so wholly fulfilled in them to where they can't even go anywhere without that spirit getting on to somebody else. I've been around people that will bring you into a joyous spirit. I've been around people who will bring you into a depressed spirit. I've been around people who will bring you into an arena just because of the spirit that is on them so heavy. So when we enter into the courts of God, if we would enter in with thanksgiving on us so heavy, then we probably wouldn't have to worry about anybody trying to talk to us, because the thanksgiving will be so heavy in this place that nobody will have room to even talk. We'll be in here praising God and worshiping God and giving him the glory that he is due. And so this morning, if we don't do anything else, I pray that we understand that we can overcome through him, because Jesus overcame death, hell, and the grave. He overcame it on our behalf, and it's only right for us to operate in it. So I pray that you do that, and that's pretty much it for me. which we don't ever have the doors of the church open and don't give an opportunity for anybody to get prayer. We don't ever open the doors up and don't have an opportunity for somebody to know this Jesus that we preach and teach about. Because it's through him that we come into heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And so if somebody tells you that there's another way to get to God, they lied to you. Jesus is the only way. And that will always be true. He created it. And he has the right to uproot it when he gets ready. I'm going to ask that you all stand to your feet. As we sang the song earlier, and this is what it was about, giving ourselves away that he could use us. We can't do anything in and of ourselves and really receive the fullness that we need to if we don't do it in reference to his leading. Is God. So I'm going to ask that we bow our heads this morning. And if anyone needs prayer for anything, operating in the anointing in anything, or for something unrelated, I'm going to pray this morning. And I'm thinking of a passage, that same one that I brought up when I was closing, about how the baby leaped at the presence of Mary carrying the Son of God. I believe it's time for us to leap into a new arena of the anointing of God. So where we've been walking in an area and just scaving by, just getting there, we're going to leap into this new arena through the anointing of the Holy Ghost. So as we get ready, and I actually have a prayer that I want to pray in reference to us leaping. Father, in the name of Jesus, we believe that this is our appointed time to leap forward. It's our time to leap, Lord. Even as John leaped in the womb, we're believing in you that this is our time to leap, oh God. This is a new season of leaping for us. We leap past all distractions in the name of Jesus. We leap past any people the enemy has set in our way to impede our progress. Lord, let our steps turn into leaps on today. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we leap ahead of anyone or anything that has illegally jumped on us, oh God. If it didn't have a right to us, oh God, I declare that we're leaping away from it in the name of Jesus. Father, I'm believing in you that as David leaped over his enemies, so shall we. Lord, I'm believing in you that our understanding shall increase in leaps and in bounds. Let our visions increase in leaps and bounds. Let our wisdom increase in leaps and bounds. Let wealth and prosperity leap upon our lives, oh God. Let every place in our life leap for joy in the name of Jesus. We take a leap of faith and do the impossible in the name of Jesus. With excitement, we leap into the future. Lord, I'm believing in you that we leap from failure unto success. I'm believing in you, Lord, that we leap from poverty into wealth. Lord, I'm believing in you that we leap from sickness into health. Lord, I'm believing in you, oh God, that we're going to leap, oh God, unto the high places, oh God, and that we'll be seated far above any principalities, any powers, any mights, any dominions, oh God. I'm believing in you, Lord, that restoration shall come from anything that has been stolen from our lives. Lord, let revelation increase in leaps and in bounds. Lord, I'm believing in you that we will leap and rejoice at the goodness of the Lord. Lord, I'm believing in you that we will leap from low places to high places. Lord, I'm believing in you that we will places that have been declared natural in our lives, we know that there's a spirit attached to them, oh God. So may we spiritually take a leap, oh God, and that you bring us into the next level, oh God, for every family, oh God, for every believer, for every ministry, for everything that's attached to us, oh God. I'm believing in you that you're going to cause it to move into another arena, to another area, oh God, that you have already preordained for it to be, Lord. I thank you for loving us. I thank you for keeping us. I thank you for shaping us and molding us and showing us a more excellent way to handle the enemy when he comes against us, oh God. For you said that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that you will lift up a standard, oh God. So I'm believing in you, Master, that you're lifting up the standard in our lives, oh God, that he shall not be able to come against us and prevail, oh God, that he shall not be able to come against us and stand, oh God, because we're standing on what is written. And it is written that neither death nor life, nor power or principality, things that are or things that are to come, shall be able to separate us from your love. And since you loved us enough to even die for us, oh God, I know that you love us enough, oh God, to deliver us from the snare of the fowler. I know that you love us enough, oh God, to deliver us out of all of our fears. I know that you love us enough, oh God, that you're the lifter of our heads. Lord, I know that you loved us. And Lord, we love you, Lord. And we know that you first loved us, oh God. So we pray, Lord, that anybody in the building today, Lord, that if they're dealing with anything, any temptation, any struggle, anything that is causing them, Lord, not to operate in the anointing that caused them to overcome, I'm believing in you that it is bound and that it is no longer taking precedence in their lives, and that they shall prevail by the word of the testimony, by the confession of their faith. We're believing in you, Master, that this is happening for everyone in the building. In Jesus' name, be exalted. Be exalted, oh God. We love you, Lord, now and forevermore. We thank you and we bless you and we say amen and amen. As at this time, it'd be back in the hands of Pastor if he wanted something else he had before we get out of here.
Let's give Brother Patrick a hand. Great word, brother. Thank you so much for your obedience and faithfulness. Amen. Well, we just want to wish you guys all a great afternoon. We hope you have a great day. Again, keep in mind the Peru trip, the pastor's coming in. Just keep him in your prayers and just pray for Traveling Mercies, that he gets rest, that he's ready to come back and bring a word from the Lord for us next week. Amen. We love you all. Y'all have a great week. God bless you all. We'll see you next week. Amen.